So are we going in the order you've got in here, block 91?
Yes, the order that Stacy provided.
91 first, okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
XB. X9.
Why don't you want that salad cut?
And really quick, I pulled out copies of my PowerPoint. And this items that have a each drawing are within that PowerPoint, so you can record that for the details.
Okay, I'm ready. We're up. So block 91, this is the building up in the northwest corner.
Sit back here. Make yourself a little.
So we wanted to, again, similar to the plaza, to address staff concerns that were brought up in the staff report and share with you some studies, less so on block 91 than on some of the other projects, the material palette, the lighting plan, and some modifications. Specifically, I think the design guidelines that were addressed were the C2, C4, C5, designed for coherency and durability. Maybe more specific, we can just look at the findings themselves in the staff report. The weathered steel that was for the planters, I'm happy to say we've changed that to black metal, so we don't have the weathered steel on the planters. So we don't have to deal with that issue. The black metal railing is an interesting observation. We have pretty much glass railings throughout the project, but in two places we've added a black picket railing, specifically at the amenity level where we have landscaping between the parapet and the railing, which we thought would be difficult to maintain and keep the glass clean on that outer side. And the other is the dog run area. We think that the black is still in keeping with the palette of the building and really acts as a screening device that lets the landscape maybe take a little bit more presence.
Can you point those out as you go through the elevations?
Okay. Yeah, there are few enough that I thought I could just hit on here a little bit. All four of the projects do have a GFRC panel, a precast panel that has an exposed fastener that is countersunk. And so we definitely want to review that with you guys. We hear there's some concern with that. It is a durable material. It has a masonry quality and finish to it, but it is an exposed fastener installation. So block 91, this diagram quite simply is a nesting of three platonic elements that have a very similar character and treatment to their fenestration pattern. And it has opportunities for terraces in some of the upper levels and some of the overlapping corners where we introduce color. As we discussed already, we've introduced some large center pivot glass doors that will allow this lobby to be completely open air, but still secure off the retail and the housing component from this lobby. There are passage doors on the side, so should the wind start howling through here, or if it's, you know, nighttime hours, obviously management can shut those doors down and enclose this for safety reasons. The majority of the floors in the ground floor of phase two are retail, trying to use retail to allow kind of porosity and visual sight lines through the building. It's obviously going to take some careful design work on the retail to consolidate back of house and other types of elements to be more linear and to preserve those sight lines through, but that is the opportunity we're creating here with this layout. Setbacks, 18 feet. We have a recess here at the main entry to the housing lobby, and then slight setbacks that, you know, kind of create the nooks and crannies as it meets the property line. This does follow the city grid, I believe it's zone guideline B3, that says to kind of respect that 200-foot grid, and by hugging that corner, that's what we're doing here. Retail, yes?
Quick question on that lobby. Is it, Is the security at the doors or at that door?
This door.
So those other doors are always open?
These are like glass fins when, yeah, open air, so that you can move from the MAC stop through the building into the plaza.
At all times.
I mean, that's...
Day and night.
Well, I don't know about that. I think that we have to leave that a little bit open-ended, that the management may choose to close it down at 10 or 11 o'clock or something else, maybe when the parking garage is shut down or some other type. I'm just the architect, right? I mean, I can't commit so much to that.
I'm just more asking.
Yeah. So that's the intent, Ben, is that this is open air, the landscaping and the paving, it moves through that space. So it's really an urban space that you pass through. But like someone brought up in the studio today, you know, like U.S. Bank Corp, the Unico Tower, how that lobby, you can move through it. But at certain times of the day, it shuts down, right? And there's only one place where you can come in. Retail entries, we have recesses in the building with canopies that are underslung beneath tube steel that fly out and create these nice entry points. And then our residential entry. We have loading off of 7th. And then our podium levels, very simple, double-loaded corridor. We do have some light at the end of the corridor here, but pretty simple, straightforward stacking of unit types. We have an amenity level at level 6 that then takes advantage of kind of a breezeway behind the skin of the building, and then a stair that goes up to the level above, which is kind of your outdoor gathering space for the building. And then that's supported by a smaller community room. Space down below is more fitness, yoga, kind of more active type amenity spaces. And then this is, you know, barbecues and fire pits and gathering for the residents themselves.
Really nice up on level 12.
Yeah, it'll be nice right where it is too, actually.
A dog lounge?
Dog lounge, yeah, that's where the dogs hang out.
Okay.
These are popular, you guys. I mean, you've got, I can't be the first person that's talking about a doggy lounge.
Oh, you are.
Really? Okay.
I've heard.
Okay, these are. I mean, maybe when I was renting apartments and you couldn't have a dog or cat in your apartment.
Right.
Now everyone has a dog. 75-80% of renters have dogs, and this is a place where you go and you hang out inside, sip a glass of wine, meet your neighbor, and your dog does his business outside. Also, there's wash stations in there, so you can clean up your dog and things like that. It's definitely part of the amenity package nowadays. So then going back up through the tower piece, you can see some of the terraces happening. And then an eco roof on top. And screening around the mechanical equipment with a little bit of housekeeping pads there. And looking at the elevation itself, this is the elevation along Holiday Street with that pass-through lobby. It's quite wide. It's maybe not as tall as we would like, but when you start introducing more height into this pass-through, it really doesn't allow this floor of residential to happen without another set of vertical circulation. So we've tried to make it very wide and very generous in that way, but still it's probably 15 to 18 feet in height through here. So it's not small, it's just wide. And you can see in some of the terraces where we're introducing color, where that kind of void happens within the skin of the building. Retail entries, terraces that come up through on the corners. This area, David, is where there's a metal railing, so it's behind the landscaping. So there's an area that would be difficult to clean, and up in here as well, where the dog lounge is. But the other terrace railings are glass, and we can see those in more of the enlarged details, I believe. So there's that amenity level right here. Beyond, there's a stair that takes you up to this rooftop level. The section, how it stacks. The elevation facing the plaza with, or I'm sorry, actually we're back on Haslund looking at a detail through that space. So the recess at that entry piece, these are the type of doors that we're looking at. Here's a little vignette of that entry where we've turned off the trees. And then in plan view, those center pivot doors, here they're shown in a closed position. With a conversation with Stacy, there was some concern that maybe we've got too many materials going on here. We've got a spandrel element here. We've got a louver that's for the mechanical, and then we've got metal spandrel. We could easily just connect that through with a louver and just reduce that complexity. A retail entry showing generous recess for that door to happen, and then steel plate canopy that spans between that alcove, similar to, say, Union Way's canopy, very simple. The brick is a running bond brick, a blend of a granite and a white glacier that has a very somewhat monochromatic look to it, but traditional in the sense that it's coursed out on a half running bond. In another recess, you can see the glass railings that we're proposing, basically set within a fascia piece behind the parapet and cantilevered glass. And then the entry on the plaza side, which you would guess is very much similar to the other side. And the vignette up here in the corner looking through that. Garage exhaust that's coming up through here. So here's one of the elements where we have set in a piece of louver for low velocity garage exhaust. If this was to become high up, then it's going to take up a certain amount of area that's going to be a little bit challenging to reconcile in kind of the ceiling and the development of it. So if that's something that you don't need to explore, then we could ask our engineers to really quantify that. But I think that it's going to be a substantial amount of louver that's going to have to be very high and very narrow.
Kyle, this is something that you mentioned when you were presenting the plaza, and I was going to ask you a follow-up question since you're here right now. Thank you. When you say high up, you're talking about high up at the ground floor.
Yeah.
So you actually, I'm wondering if you've ever looked at higher than that high up. Have you looked at what it would take to get it up at the second floor?
Yeah.
So reserve that and let them finish.
Okay.
And we can
answer
that.
Okay. So you want me to answer your question?
Not now.
Okay.
I'll ask it again.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Okay. I'll give you a little teaser. It has to do with real estate, I think. So. Very simple pony wall with brick on it and a precast sill piece. And then this is a detail at that louver. This is a louver condition at the Velamore. And then our loading bay adjacent to a louver. This would be a translucent glass overhead door at the loading bay. Fire command center, other kind of back of house service elements happening. And a vignette of what that door might look like. A high up transition area. Here you can see that's the glass railing versus the metal railing that we were talking about. This is one of those conditions where, I'm sorry, this isn't one of those conditions. So that was, it's actually on this roof. And it's on, let's go all the way back to the plan.
Is it back from the edge?
It is back from the edge. It's in the terrace area, and we would definitely trim it out with either gravel or plantings, but we've changed that material, so we made that go away. Let's see. So this area, at the dog lounge area, you can see the metal railing in this condition that's addressed in the staff report. Otherwise, this is a rather deep terrace with landscaping on the edge. I mean, I guess you can see a peekaboo of the one on the other level. The idea is that the landscaping is more of the top as opposed to the railing. A typical level. This is some of the GFRC panels. This would have exposed fasteners, and it's set back within the terrace piece. And it gives it that splash of color. the stairway going up to R1, and the railing once again. Is that up in here? R1 level. And then the very top. Recessed terraces with a little splash of color. We've got the ochre color. We've got the materials over here on the table that we can look at. So glass railing set within these elements, tall grasses along the edge of the parapet to give it a little bit more of a softer profile. Half running bond brick blend, GFRC panels set within those recesses. Steel canopies, black to match all the other steel work on the project. Aluminum storefront system and metal louvers. Half running bond, concrete, some steel work. A little bit of the wood planking. And then our lighting plan within the kind of soffit conditions and within that lobby, and then within the recesses at the retail. This shot is from 7th in Holiday, looking east at the corner. So our entry point is right here. The max stop is happening right here. Close up of that lobby with the doors in the open position. A shot looking down along Pacific Street towards BPA with that wraparound terrace. That's where that amenity level is that comes up above. And then a shot from the plaza side looking through that entry towards Holiday Street. So that's block 102, or 91, sorry.
Okay. All right, so we're going to kind of rinse and repeat here. And who's got questions? Julianne, questions?
Well, yeah, generally, we have a question about the...
You have a question, I know you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
generally, this applies to all of the buildings that have the mechanical ventilation for the garage at the ground level. Is there a code reason that needs to happen at the ground floor? Or a structural reason, or you know, anything other than the value of real estate above the first floor that prevents it from being higher in the building?
You will be challenged by where you can locate operable windows. If you take it up onto a residential floor, you're not going to be able to have an operable window within 10 feet of it. You're going to have to likely rate that assembly all the way up to the second floor, so it's kind of expensive to do that. You're probably better off going through the brain damage of trying to work it into a very long transom louver at the ground level and deal with it there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you been over there on phase one to experience those vents as they're operating?
Not since it's been fully commissioned. I've been over there when it's, and I'm not sure how recent you were over there, but today, there was times where it was blowing hard.
Today it was blowing extremely, extremely hard.
Like you could dry your dog there.
Yeah,
that's how. I mean, since we're talking about dogs,
the face is the Oregon Square. When it's on,
yeah, the lower building.
Face is Max.
Yeah, face is Max.
Next line.
Yeah, it's uncanny. Maybe the systems aren't operating correctly.
Yeah, we were 12 feet away. Possible. 12 feet away at one point. It's like still.
Yeah. It's really
that's why I asked if it was low velocity.
It was low velocity, and so
maybe it was testing it or something.
Yeah.
Maybe you take it to 11 for a while and then dial it back. I don't know.
I'll look at it. I mean, there's a code velocity, you know, CFM that I have to be
right. Well, that's where I think that's where you're headed, right? What is code, and if that's code, then it's a significant movement of air at the sidewalk level. I mean, it's the most I've ever. And that's why I wasn't quite sure if they were testing the systems or something. But
well, I can find out. Yeah. I mean, it's allowed by code to be the velocity that it was designed to. So whether that's what you experienced or not, I can't say.
If you can find that out, that would be helpful for us to gauge what you know what's actually the reality.
What to expect?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
They look pretty.
Good. That's half of it.
And if they blow out warm air in the winter, that would be really nice.
Yeah, that's like the
folks there.
World Trade Center is standing underneath by Starbucks, right?
Yeah, so you, yeah.
So, questions then?
Okay. What is on, can you go back to the plan view?
Which one?
Of the whole, of the building facing the plaza. And
first floor?
Yeah, first floor.
First floor, okay.
Thank you.
Could just escape out of this, but this will be easier. Bam.
There you go. Actually, don't you have one that shows the retail entries? Or is that... There you go. Okay. So I guess I could have asked you before we went through all that. Are you envisioning that this is the same retailer?
That's the hope, yes.
And so these are not service doors. Those are real bona fide retail entries.
Yep.
They won't be locked or go around.
You walk in off the street, grab your cup of coffee, and you go out onto the plaza to drink
generally
your cup of coffee.
Two-sided retail makes people crazy.
Well, it makes for design challenge for sure. I mean, you have to think about either the back of house being something linear or being something of an island.
Okay, so you envision all these as being primary entries? Or
yes.
I don't want to say primary.
Two-sided.
Equal value.
Two-sided. Yes.
Two-sided.
Okay. Thank you. The other questions you touched on, we saw an image of mechanical on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any details on the enclosure or anything? It looked like a big box up there, but
I mean, it's going to be a screen wall. Yes. So this is your elevator overrun and a couple of air handlers.
Okay. They're far enough back. Thank you.
Yeah.
You think you're going to see it from the plaza? Really? Will they be seen from the plaza?
Sure, it's a big enough plaza. I think you can get far enough away from it.
So what were you thinking in terms of screen?
Metal, so it matched the metal panel that's used within the project.
Metal panel.
On the building itself? It'd be the same as the building?
Yeah, it's not going to be a brick enclosure. It's going to be a metal enclosure on tube steel frame.
What we've been seeing that that enclosures that are painted the same color as the building are less like a little building on a building. So you might consider that?
Because my inclination would be to paint it out to be the accent color. Yeah, the dark color.
I understand that. But if you actually drive by on the freeway next to the Pearl and look at all the buildings, and I encourage you to do that, and you make your own decision. But it seems like when it's part of the building, visually, color-wise, it seems to be a little less obtrusive than a box.
Yeah.
So take a look.
Okay.
Is that it?
That's it.
Jeff? You want me to come back to you?
Okay.
No questions.
I got one more.
Okay. All right.
Do you have a percentage on the brick mix?
I think I'm going to lock that up.
Okay.
But really, the thought is that it's heavier on the white than it is on the more kind of granular.
Okay. So it would be great to see that. Mm-hmm. So I think it has, in the reproductions, it's pretty much reading as white.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a difference there between white and a mixed terms of the aesthetics of the building.
I agree, yeah, wholeheartedly. And it is a running bond as opposed to a stack bond.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to get to that material page. Yeah, so here you get a little bit of a sense of the of the blend.
I'll save it for my comment.
Yeah. No question. I have... a couple, and it really has to do, if we could navigate back to the first floor, with the pass-through lobby. And while I think it's a a good idea, if it would be a really good idea on the right site, perhaps. But I'm wondering, you know, how it impression-wise, does it compete with the primary entrance into the large plaza? Does it diminish the importance of it? Is there a way to angle modulate that facade at the first floor so that at some point it maybe funnels people towards the primary entrance, the Watergate? So have you stepped back and said, you know, we've made this, it's a really interesting idea, I have to say. I'm just wondering, does it diminish the primary Watergate entry? Because now you've got this one and this one, right?
Well, I think it's a unique condition.
I agree.
Given the MAX and streetcar stop happening right there in the corner, you could imagine there's a higher percentage of people moving possibly through this corner, and it's a valve.
Sure.
That allows for a little bit more relief as opposed to funneling everyone through the one entry. If anything, I think it's the right place for it, given all of that transportation happening there.
Well, and given the fact that it would be closed at certain times, and this is a question that builds on another question of the public-private relationship between the other pass-through lobbies and the perception of people that don't live in those buildings. Are they actually avenues that if I don't live in that one building, can I go through there? What's the invitation? What's the invitation and the indication that says, yes, you are walking by here and you're welcome to walk through the lobby at any hour of the day or what? So I guess if you kind of answer that, maybe we can kind of wrap these four together.
Because this is going to come up with every building.
The what?
It's going to come up with every building.
Right.
Less so with this one because the aperture is so much bigger.
Sure.
But really, you can imagine someone finds themselves in the retail and sees the door that leads out to the lobby space that's furnished. And there's also, it's discovering those shortcuts through a city. They're not always kind of obvious. You learn them through living in the city. And it's how we move through downtown, through office buildings. It's those things you may find when you go into an office building that there isn't a door on the other side, and then you never take that shortcut again.
Right.
But when you do find the door on the other side, you know, you
and continue. I think that for an office building, that might be true, but these aren't office buildings. They're residential buildings with some retail flanking the lobby. So there's already a different perception about territory and public entry into a private realm. So I'm just asking you, what are the indicators? And you might discover it over time, but it with the importance of these things, I guess for me, I don't think the success hinges on those lobbies being public.
That's good.
And so that's probably from my perspective, the good news is I don't think I don't even think you'd really need this other lobby, pass-through lobby, the one in the northwest. Just for me, because I think in some ways it's confusing. And and my question really was about, you know, these competing, to me, are these competing or are they complementing one another? And I for me, I'm kind of not seeing the complementary nature of it.
So the other lobbies are definitely not as open as this one, right? There's doors and you got to pull on the doors and go through, and maybe you discover it because you were in the retail space.
Right.
This response was really in reaction to a conversation we had at DAR3, which was, what about all those people that are going to show up, the throngs of people that are going to move into this plaza? Where are they going to go? How are they going to ventilate into the plaza? And we thought, actually, this would be a solution that really addressed that concern and seems to be put in the right place. And I'm not sure that it does compete. And I think even if the doors are open, you're still going to get some people that are going to be a little bit timid to move through there. I think that there's more cues with this building than the other buildings that this is kind of a quasi-public space that you can move through, and that's through materials and landscaping that kind of draw you through, and it's open air. So I don't know if it competes.
I think the challenge with this was, a discussion that we had about how the people are getting there from TriMet and where they're going to get into the lobby. And you're still working with the PED crossing.
Yes.
You know, which is critical, you know, to make that happen.
Absolutely.
That solves it. But then, so it's, you know, the best of all possible worlds, regardless of what you've drawn or anything, would be some kind of entry from the corner, which allows people to get off light rail, across the street, and just come in. But that's not going to happen. But the question is, by creating the flow-through lobby, you're actually creating an entry that's where people would be jaywalking. So it's challenging to have an entry there. I mean, my first choice would be to put it on the corner in some way, to somehow allow people to get off Max, cross at a signalized crossing that's already there and in existence, and enter into the plaza. But you're pursuing the other one, so.
Yeah, I think that this one formally makes a lot of sense because it's where the pieces are coming together.
Right.
And it doesn't erode what is a very orthogonal building, you know, kind of coming through the corner.
No,
I guess I would wonder about if you fill that in and the queues to get in to the plaza are the four points where you normally navigate in like a street, right?
Right.
People are used to navigating 200 feet to get somewhere, right, or across the most of the city.
So there's not a lot of love for this open air.
Not from my standpoint.
You're only hearing from David.
Yeah.
Maybe Tad.
Yeah.
No.
Pointing out.
Right.
So if I could add
absolutely,
on this.
Yeah. We need this. We're not the only ones up
here. I appreciate it. I appreciate what you've done to create the porosity beyond these four openings on each side of the blocks. And I believe that this will be a quickly learned experience by everyone to use that as a cut through. And we're lemmings culturally. You see one person go in that door and head for the door on the back side because you can see through the whole thing, you're going to follow. I think, you know, within a short order, that's going to become a learned experience, especially for people that are
I don't
here
think this
frequently.
One's as much right. of a learned experience. This is pretty straightforward, yeah. The others are the ones.
So, you know, I like it. I support it. I don't disagree with Tad about the idea of a corner opening, but I think it's not realistic, especially with some of the other guidelines that deal with corners.
Yeah.
I did have a comment if you're done on that one.
Yeah, well,
now that we're.
Yeah, I guess we can weigh in on it at some point, but yeah.
I had a comment about the seventh floor west facing little planter strip that comes along the entire seventh floor west side,
mm-hmm.
turns the corner on the north side. The way it's illustrated and the way it's shown in the drawings is that there's some uniform material, maybe one single variety. Material, and I'm pretty confident that's going to fail in that you've got multiple exposures that plant material is going to deal with. So, yeah, so on the west side, it's getting full direct afternoon
right.
sunlight. It's getting, you know, just the heat of the day, the hot, and where there's building above, it's going to reflect off the building and just toaster oven, whatever's there. The stuff that's adjacent to the rooftop garden will probably do well. And the stuff on the north side is going to be light deprived because it's in shadow all the time.
Okay.
So any single variety, any material, any species you try to come up with is not going to perform equally in all three of those environments. So it's just not going to look the way it does in your rendering after about the first week.
Okay.
Comment.
Okay, good.
Did you use GFRC in the first phase?
No, but we used hardy panel on the upper levels, which I should take a look at. It's pretty well done. I think a lot of the concerns raised by commission had to do with sloppy installations, and this is pretty nice.
Does that have exposed fasteners on it, or your sample, or not?
It does not. We've got one. One's being fabricated for us, so we'll have that. They're countersunk fasteners. It's not this big tactile thing we're trying to celebrate.
In terms of the decks, the lighting, is that lighting that's in the ceiling? Or I can't remember what was on the plan, your upper residential decks, the private ones. I guess the concern is, if you're looking up, having
the recess cans or something, having that?
I don't believe there is lighting in these. By practice, I wouldn't put lighting there.
I didn't know if it just wasn't shown or there isn't any. So if there isn't any, that's great.
Yeah.
Just to interject, I forgot to mention that. We don't have lighting plans for the upper floors or the outdoor spaces on the upper floors. That's something we were still waiting for.
Yeah, the terraces will be an important place to talk about lighting and the levels.
Once you have those.
Yeah, yep.
Well, if there's no more questions, there are a couple of things on the table. Exposed fasteners for GFRC. Those are all inboard of the outer skin of brick.
Yep. Yes.
So any issues with that per se? I'd like to see a sample of it.
Yeah, sure.
And I assume it's like finished like a nickel finish or something, or?
It's to match. To match the panel, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Railing, metal versus glass. It seemed a little close to me for it to go to metal. What's the dimension from the edge?
Good question. I'm guessing it's about 2 feet. And this one, you can see, this one's a little bit greater than 2 feet. It's just really, if you're going to have glass here and you're going to have to clean it, then you're going to have to tie off. It's going to, or I guess you can reach over and squeegee it. But with the landscaping being there and it rains and it splashes, I mean, it's going to be a little bit of a maintenance issue. And, the other is to just push the railing out and lose that landscaped edge. But I think the landscaped edge is quite nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It won't screen it quite like that. I mean, we all know it.
Could it be painted?
Huh? Well, yeah, is it something lighter?
The cable.
Is that an option?
We can look at the cable. My personal fear with the cable is it creates a ladder for younger kids. We try not to do it in residential projects.
Yeah. Especially when you're 2 stories
in. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe talk about finish then. What do you have planned?
Black.
Anodized.
Yeah, just a high-performance coating or a steel rail.
And then the louver vents at the ground plane for pedestrian zone?
Yeah.
Yes, I know about the...
Yeah,
if you could get some info on testing or clarify what was going on today.
And I'll quantify what it means to put it up high and get it even faster.
I did have a question about, but every other window has a louver at the top also. Why is that? Doesn't it?
At the top.
The ground floor? I think so.
It's probably anticipating retail and...
Because anywhere and everywhere could be cafe food and exhaust and whatnot, but I've not seen it quite like that everywhere. I mean, most of them have been, a couple projects come in and it's just over the entry band.
Yeah.
Whatever reason, so.
Well, even part of phase one, the block in the northeast corner has a ribbon of louvers where we anticipate a grocer.
Right. We just missed that.
It leaves it really flexible.
Right.
And then we don't have to come back and talk about it.
That joint between the louver and the glazing and the storefront.
Between there
and
the ground?
Like 10 or
yeah. I'm guessing it might be more. I'm guessing it's about 12.
And have you got like 14 floor-to-floor in the first
level? Yeah. What is the first? Do you know? Let me see what I can see what the section shows. I don't know off the top of my head, David. Let me. Yeah, that's helpful. What do you know what it is?
17. Yes.
17? Okay. Great.
That's good.
There we go, 14.
So then you're going to find out about the vents, and then was there anything else, Stacy?
The pass-through lobby, did we conclude that?
Circle back to that, right?
Yeah, and that's it.
Well, let's just kind of figure out where we stand on the pass-through lobby. Maybe the easy part is, do we care if the others are? The other three?
I don't.
I don't care if the other three are pass-through lobbies. I actually like this pass-through lobby. I think having what has the potential to be a very elegant glass lobby that looks from the street through to the plaza at this important intersection in what is essentially a mid-block position is really pretty nice.
I intensely dislike it. I can't tell you how much I dislike it, but I'm going to try. I just think, I mean, to me, it's just a source of confusion, and it could be okay, but I just think I think you could do it through other ways to really funnel people into this common primary entry, the portal, which is where we want people to be. I mean, you want them coming in and out. Not that other places coming in and out wouldn't be great, but I mean, it's only 60, 70 feet away from the other one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's not even just the length of this, about the length of this, maybe not even that. So I just, it's a mixed message to me. And it could be fine. If the majority of commissioners like it, then obviously it stays in. I would, if it does stay in, then I would encourage it to get simplified. I think these little kind of slivers of landscape and little islands, it's just if it's going to be simple and elegant, which I have to say, you know, the glass and all that, I thought it was interesting. I think still do. It's an interesting idea. It's just, for me, it's not in the right place, in the right application, but I think it needs a lot of work to kind of make it as simple as the rest of the building because it is part of that building. So,
yeah, and
even though I don't like it, I'll help you make it better.
I guess the only thing I'd add too, Kyle, is that when I was asking if it's closed or open, I think the difficulty is it closed or open? And is the inside treated like it's exterior? And you know that you have the one retail door coming into it, which I bet will be closed because they have three others.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's all of a sudden a door that's closed that says, please go around to retail. And then it takes a little away from the quality of the experience of those apartment dwellers, you know, because then this is this kind of back of that house,
mm-hmm.
public pass through the security. So I'm wondering if it should just be completely open, take away the doors, take away everything, kind of treat it as kind of exterior space, or close it. I think that the confusing part will be the open, closed, indoor, outdoor,
yeah.
Heated, not heated, back of house, front of house, formal entry to an apartment building or not. So I'd almost see it as completely open, or I agree with David, close it and make it a really formal entry to that apartment building and just have people walk around and recognize that retail door will never be used. And how do you treat that wall face?
Because
mm-hmm. Just a door in it would be unfortunate with landscaping around it as you pass through.
Yeah.
So I'd almost say that's a better lobby for the whole apartment building. And since Gwen isn't here, you talked about this earlier, but if you have a bike, can you just talk about this building in particular? If you have a bike, what do you do with the bike as you come in? How do you get, do you bring it into the lobby, or what's the bike circulation?
You could bring it in through the lobby, or you could ride down
to the garage,
the ramp, no. Yeah, and lock it up in a locker downstairs.
Come up in the elevator out of the garage.
Yeah, secured the lobby downstairs.
So those doors, those lovely entry glass, does it have a glass edge on it?
These big doors right here?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I would suspect they're trimmed in metal. I mean, thin, not a big heavy thing, but
on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like the edge of a canopy.
You know, I don't know if this works, but we did mention, you know, trying to find a hallway for those elevators and the stair. And if maybe those go
into that
this, and then people come up into that and then out, maybe then it starts to make a little more sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always open, yeah. And then people can orient themselves and say, well, that's this big portal. I remember where it was. Because you got Max on one side, and you've got the
plaza.
Mm-hmm.
When you come out of the elevator,
yeah.
Nice.
It's really nice.
Building,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Opening up the door into the rain. Yeah.
Right. So maybe that's a win-win to make this work and to find a home for that, and there's a little synergy between the two.
Yeah, okay. Keep it up.
Okay. I did have one kind of observation, and I wondered about the kind of the degree of canopies, particularly on Holiday Street, or lack of, I should say. I know you've got this big kind of indentation that leads into the pass-through lobby, but it just seems like it, like particularly that corner, is there something you're offering? That, yeah, all the recesses have a little bit of a canopy. And then in particular, you know, the edge of the retail that faces the plaza, is there an opportunity to provide more of a continuous canopy? So if you've got, you know, a little mist or something, people can kind of huddle under that and still be there, so that if there is a bit of imperfect weather, you can still have people kind of on the edge and being outside? Because there's a lot of times when it might be a little rainy, but the temperature is fine and people still can be outside.
Yeah, I think that's something like this building, more so than any of the other ones, does not have continuous canopy coverage.
Right, understood. Yeah. Right. And that would be the only place I would probably investigate it.
Yeah, we might just make them a little bit different, you know, so the retail ones stand
right.
out. But
sure. Any other comments? Is that about it? Or like questions, and then if you want to summarize your comments. Okay. Jeff, do you want to go? No comment? Okay. Julie?
No, I don't have much.
Okay.
I like right. the changes that you have made to the pass-through lobby.
Okay.
I think
right.
that's a great solution. I like the mid-block mid-block entry.
Okay.
No problem with the rails at the parapet.
Okay. All right. Louver, he's going to find out about that.
So, yeah, okay. Louver, we need a little more on the louvers.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Mark, Ted?
really handsome building. Beautiful.
Right.
Really beautiful. I think my preference would be to stay with a white brick as opposed to a two-tone, but it's really well proportioned. It's simple. It's elegant. It's just nice architecture. Congratulations. questions about the mechanical housing, we'll see next time. I like David's idea about the lobby and the elevators. I'd lose the orange on the balconies. I just think it detracts from it. I just think this is a pure form building and it doesn't need any kind of additions, but that's your choice. But I'd give you my opinion there. And I am concerned about the vents, but you'll come back and let us know.
Okay.
Congratulations on that one.
Okay. Ben?
Yeah, and I too agree, Kyle. I think this is the best of the buildings. And so that's why I think it's most able to support additional height too. So I think that I'm kind of, that's a great outcome if the most elegantly proportioned building has a little more height to it, which I think would be great. So I think that works all in the right direction. So,
right.
Perfect.
And I'll take it a step further. I think it's the best building in this block and in phase one. And it may be the best GBD building I've seen since I've been on commission. And because it has such a strong singular concept, but it has enough variation of that concept to give it enough depth and interest and complexity so that you're not just looking at the same thing every mm-hmm. from every elevation. And it also, I think, it embodies that what we've been asking for since phase one is to take the kind of DNA of Lloyd Center, that kind of 60s kind of origin and genesis, and then abstract it. And I think this building does that in such a successful way. So I really like it. I would, given the northeast building on phase one and its kind of blended brick, I'm a little suspicious of the two-tone brick on this, but because of the purity of the expression of the grid and the broken grid, mm-hmm. it's just something to think about. I'd really want to see, oh, they're there now. Maybe I'll take a look at them in a little bit. But I think, yeah, I think this is by far the best building.
Great.
Okay.
Okay.
Next building?
Want to keep going?
Let's do it. Next. Yep. Okay. Block 102?
Yes.